Welcome back to the second part of King Benjamin's talk. If you remember last week, we talked about how this talk comes in two parts. If you haven't listened to the first part, may I encourage you to go back and listen to last week, episode 17 on the 22nd of April. And the reason being is because that will make this side of the talk make a whole lot more sense. See, for whatever reason, King Benjamin kind of does like a pause or he does like a general conference. I jokingly call it the halftime hymn, right? We have a halftime hymn in general conference and King Benjamin does the same thing. But I don't know if you've ever noticed, unlike our general conference where like we do the halftime hymn, like the first half is an hour, halftime hymn, second half is an hour, like the halves are the same. We've been watching a lot of musicals. At my house, in fact, we have tickets to the local theater here to attend musicals. And one of the things that I've noticed that is a general theme for musicals, independent of what their content is that the first half is generally longer and the second half is shorter. Has anyone else ever noticed that? Like when you attend a musical, like the first half, you're like, oh, this is so great. And then it's like, intermission, everybody goes to use the restroom, grab a drink, and you get back to your seat. And then all of a sudden it's like, and now it's over. And you're like, wait a second. But I wanted the second half to be as long as the first half kind of thing. Well, this is also true with King Benjamin's address. His first half was most of chapter 2, if you remember, and all of chapter 3. But the second half is only chapter 4, verses 9 through 30. And then chapter 5, and we'll talk about chapter 5. And then chapter 6 is just like, and then King Benjamin died, Mosiah is the king, and everybody lived happily ever after for 3 years. So in the process of all of this, we are actually going to start at the end of King Benjamin's talk. We're going to go to the very last verse. And instead of just reading it today, we're going to sing because I think that we need that. And besides, I was thinking about musicals. So let's be honest. Let's just make this, you know, Book of Mormon podcast, the musical. Just kidding. So we're in Mosiah chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 30. It goes like this. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish, and now then remember and perish not. Mosiah 4:30. Now you may be saying to yourself, Candace, that sounds familiar. It should. Not because of Mosiah 4:30, but it may sound familiar because the tune is actually, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, right? And one of the things that I love about this song is the very end when it's all, ye must perish. Like, that's so cheerful. You're going to die and perish. And no man remember and perish not. Mosiah 4:30. So let's try it one more time. If you want to sing along, now you know the tune is Count Your Blessings. But the words are Mosiah 4:30. Here we go. It's about to be an earworm for you. Not even joking. But this much I can tell you, that if ye do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish, because we're cheerful, and no man remember and perish not. Mosiah 4:30. One more time, just for fun. But this much I can tell you, that if ye do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish, and no man remember and perish not. Mosiah 4:30. Okay, So there's a whole lot of words going on in there that we want to take a minute to unpack. Like, this verse is so chucked full, but before we unpack it, I'm going to give you a rhyme, because why not? So Mosiah 4:30, don't think dirty, right? Because he's telling us to watch our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And there's a very linear process here that Mosiah is trying to unpack for you and I. But he tells us to watch. So I went into the dictionary, because the dictionary is my friend. You all already know that. And in this instance, when we're talking about watch, we're talking about exercising care, caution, or restraint. So just by simply understanding that, but this much I can tell you, that if you do not exercise care, caution, or restraint on yourselves. Now, are there times or circumstances in your life where you need to actually really do that? I know there are in mine. In fact, I think I encounter them often in interactions with other human beings. When I've got to kind of like censor myself, restrain myself, driving can sometimes bring this upon me where I might want to exercise some care, caution, or restraint. And then he's saying, but watch yourself. So first you, as your whole being. And then he jumps in and he says, your thoughts. Now, thoughts are ideas or opinions produced by thinking. Isn't it interesting that Mosiah starts with the whole of you, but then he backs it up and he says, okay, I want you to really exercise care, caution, and restraint around your ideas or opinions. Ever get so stuck in an opinion that may not even be right, but you're just so stuck in it and you don't have restraint that it just, like, you can't even talk to people about it? And I'm just going to let that just kind of hang there. And then he says, and your words. Now, words are something that is said. I am pretty confident there isn't a single listener of this particular episode of this podcast that hasn't said something at least once that they regretted saying. Have you noticed that the people who love us the most are usually the ones that we use the harshest words with? Why? Well, because we know they're not going to leave us. And so then they become our whipping boards verbally. So he's saying, okay, Candace, I'm trying to tell you that if you do not exercise care, caution, or restraint on your ideas or opinions and on the things that come out of your mouth, and then he says, well, deeds, well, what is deeds? It's active work or a visible outcome. Whew, hold up. So now I've got to exercise care, caution, or restraint with my ideas or opinions, the things that I say, and my visible outcomes. I told you there's a little bit to unpack here in this verse, and you hear, you thought it was just a cheerful song. And observe the commandments. Well, observe means to notice or perceive, and continue in the faith of what you have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, you must perish. Now, perish means to suffer death, typically in a very violent or sudden way. Or in other words, it's utter destruction or ruin. So let's put this all in terms that you now better understand. So here, as King Benjamin wraps up his talk, he says, this much I can tell you, that if you do not exercise care, caution, or restraint of yourselves and your ideas or opinions and the things that you say, and your visible actions or outcomes, and observe or notice or perceive the commandments of God, and continue in the faith of what you have heard concerning the coming of the Lord, even to the end of your lives, you must suffer death, typically in a violent or sudden way, utter destruction or ruin. And now, O man, remember and do not suffer utter destruction or ruin. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of like a spiritual mic drop, boof, and I'm out. Because what is causing people to perish? Their ideas or opinions. The things that they say and their visible outcomes. I'm going to repeat that. What's causing them to perish? Their thoughts, words, and deeds. Their ideas or opinions, things that they are saying and subsequently their visible outcomes. Now, here's the reality. You and I don't do anything without thinking about it first. Now, I'll totally own that sometimes we don't weigh the overall consequences of what we're thinking about and what we execute. But the reality is you don't generally just suddenly go kill somebody. Oh, I don't even know what I was doing. I just killed somebody. No, that's not what happens at all. We don't commit something good or bad without first what creating or grasping onto an idea or an opinion. And so here is Mosiah saying, will you watch? What does it mean to watch? Will you exercise care, caution, or restraint? Now, we live in a world that does not exercise a lot of care. We live in a world that does not have a lot of caution, and it also doesn't have a lot of restraint. But believing God and exercising or executing on what he would have us do means that sometimes we have to give up our old opinions. Let me tell you what I mean. So my first area on my mission, I served in a city called Alicante, Spain. It's a beautiful coastal town, southern part, and gorgeous. And I'll never forget my companion saying, hey, we need to go visit this lady that is in the hospital. And so we went to visit. I said, is she a member? She said, no. And we went to visit her, and there were a couple of things that I remember. The first thing that I remember about visiting this sweet lady is she was very old. She was in her late 70s. She'd been suffering some health decisions. And candidly, she also, I think, had like 3 or 4 teeth. And so she affectionately became known in my brain as Three Tooth Maria. And I love Three Tooth Maria. I loved her that first day that I met her. Her husband was deceased. Her son, Juan, and his wife, Amparo, had been members of the church for 16 years, and they had 2 kids. And I'm not joking when I say their kids' names were Eve and Adam. So here's Juan and Amparo and their 2 kids. Well, Eva is about to get baptized. And so we prayed that Maria would be out of the hospital and be able to come to the baptism. And she was. And while we were there at the baptism, we invited her to take the discussions. And she agreed. Well, I'll never forget the first day we walked out to her apartment building, because the reality is our apartment was probably like a 10-minute walk at most from the actual beach or the explanada. And Maria lived in, if you will, it would be like a suburb. And I'm not kidding when I say just to walk to her apartment building from our apartment building was over 30 minutes. It was a long old walk. And we got out there, and to our horror, she lived on the 4th floor and the elevator was broken. So here we are in the heat of April, walking up the stairs. And as a side, there were more than 100. I've got this really weird quirk that I count stairs when I go up and down them. More than 100 stairs. We get up there and I'm like, this is so dumb, because we are going to teach this 76-year-old woman who's been against the church for 16 years. Like, this is stupid. And I thought that the whole time. I clearly was not exercising a lot of care, caution, or restraint, at least mentally, in my thoughts. But it doesn't hurt anybody, right? Because it's just in my head. Well, we go in there and we teach the first discussion. And we invite her to read the Book of Mormon. And she says, well, I would, but I have a really hard time with small print. My companion, who was preparing to go home, says, no problem. And I have no idea where she got this. But she pulled out like one of the jumbo copies of the Book of Mormon. Like, this thing was huge. And she pulls out and she's like, here you go. Can you read this? And she's like, well, yeah. And so she committed to read the Book of Mormon. And my companion said, okay, well, we're going to come see you again in a few days and see how you've done. We just start reading in 1 Nephi. Well, we left and I was like, what the heck? And so I asked my companion, because I was new, I was a greenie, it was my first area. She's like, did you understand what was going on there? And I said, well, I think so. This is what we're talking about. And she said, yeah, this is what we were talking about. And I said, yeah, it was good. But don't you think this is a waste of time? I mean, she's been against the church for a long time, like adamantly, openly against the church. And my companion said, you clearly don't get it. I didn't watch my ideas or opinions, and now I've said it. Well, we go out a couple of days later to teach Maria, and a crazy thing happened. She had read like half of 1 Nephi. And so we asked her what she thought, and she said, I love that Nephi guy, but Laman and Lemuel, those are 2 dumb dudes. And then she began telling us how dumb they were and how they needed to listen to their father. And And it just segued beautifully into a second discussion. And so we taught her about the restoration and about baptism. And we invited her to be baptized, and she said no. In fact, we would continue to walk out there twice a week to visit with Maria until my companion would go home for remission. We would invite her all the time, and she was just cruising along in the Book of Mormon. She could tell us beautiful things about what she was learning and what she was feeling. And we finally, just before my companion left, we came out and she said, "Sisters, I've been thinking, and I've got a really great idea." And we said, "What's that?" And she said, "I have decided that I will get my friend who is a lawyer to come and we'll write up a legal document." And she pointed at my companion and she said, "And you will be baptized for me and I will sign it." Well, that gave us an opportunity to teach her about baptism for the dead, because you can't have a proxy get baptized for you. And so we explained to her baptism for the dead, and she said, "Well, then I guess I'm just going to have to die." And we began to dig a little bit deeper and come to find out Maria was afraid of the water. In fact, she was afraid of the water to the point where she had not had her head submerged underwater in more than a couple of decades. So we asked her, like, "Well, what do you do?" And she's like, "Well, I wash my daughter washes my hair in a sink, and I take like a tub, and I have the shower, the head that drops down. Like, I never get my face. I wash my face with a washcloth. I don't get it in the water." Well, my companion goes home. Needless to say, my care and opinion had changed a lot. And at this point, I was extremely invested in my three-tooth Maria. Well, I take my new companion, my new senior companion, out to meet her. And as we leave the house after our first visit, my new senior companion did not watch or exercise care or caution around her ideas or opinions with the things that she said about my three-tooth Maria. And it created kind of a heated discussion. Well, I stood up for my three-tooth Maria and I said, "Look, we need to visit her every week." And she started to attend church, but she just wasn't progressing to get baptized. Until one particular night. See, there's this really great scripture in the middle of the second half of King Benjamin's talk in Mosiah chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It's very simple and to the point. You ready? "Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that ye do them." Do you catch what he's saying there? Believe in God, believe that He is. Believe that He has all wisdom, all power. Believe that man can't comprehend what God can comprehend. Believe that you must repent of your sins, forsake and humble yourselves in sincerity. And if you believe these things, see that ye do them. Your belief should lead you to an action. Why? Well, because I am watching my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. Right? So here we are with Maria, and I'd been walking out to her house now for over 3 months, 90 days walking out there. And finally one night, we ended up just the two of us. My companion excused herself to go to the restroom. And we ended up just the two of us, and Maria began to compliment my Spanish. Now remember, she met me when I had only been in the country like 2 weeks. And so she's watched my language skills progress over the past 90 plus days. And in the process of this, she then asked a question that was just like, I only got asked this question a couple of times, but the basic question was, "Why are you here in Spain? Didn't you have a life?" What a question. Why are you here in Spain? Didn't you have a life? And I said, "Maria, I did have a life." And I told her a little bit, like, I'd been studying at the university. I'd actually broken off a romantic relationship a few months before my mission call. Went through all of the things that I had left behind. And then I said, "But Maria, the reason that I came is because I loved God. I love God. And I needed to show Him through my actions that I loved Him." And then I simply said, "Maria, "Do you love the Savior?" To which she responded, "Yes." And I said, "Will you be baptized?" And then I named the date. And she responded, "Yes." Believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of the heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. The Savior, when he taught in the book of John, he put it this way, verse 15 of chapter 14, "If you love me, keep my commandments. So, what will you do because you believe in Christ?" What is it that you will actually go and do because you believe in Christ? See, as King Benjamin's people listened to his words, something began to happen as they began to feel this converting power, this belief to change. In fact, it's recorded this way in chapter 5. Now remember, the talk ended there at the end of chapter 4. So here we go, chapter 5, verse 1. "Now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, he sent among them desiring to know of his people if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them." Now you remember what we just learned. If I believe, I'm going to what? If you believe all these things, see that you do them. Verse 2, "And they cried with one voice, yea, we believe all the words which have been spoken unto us, and also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which has wrought a mighty change in us and in our hearts." I love this next phrase, "that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually." When was a time that you felt that need to really change and to commit to something? I'm grateful for examples in my life. I have a father who, upon gaining a testimony via the Spirit, he believed the words of the missionaries, believed the things that he felt in prayer, that he woke up and he gave up smoking and drinking cold turkey same day. I have a sibling who literally said, when I asked how they were progressing at a particular time in their life and asked how they were doing, they literally said to me, "If I said that those places that I used to go to aren't places that I want to go to anymore, would that make sense?" To which I responded, "Oh yeah, because why? Well, in our hearts, we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually." Verse 3, "And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of the Spirit, have great views of that which is to come, and were expedient we could prophesy of all things." And all of a sudden begins opening up here. As the Spirit is teaching them, this happens. "And it is faith which we have had on the things which our King has spoken unto us, that has brought us to this great knowledge whereby we do rejoice with such exceedingly great joy, and we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God to do his will and to be obedient to his commandment in all things that he shall command us, all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God." So here, because of what they felt in this conference talk, they are willing to enter into a covenant. Now, are you willing to make and keep the covenants that you have? I would dare say most of us have the covenant of baptism. Some of you have the temple covenant. And has the gospel of Jesus Christ subsequently impacted and changed your life? And are you changing because you have this knowledge? All of this is happening to the people of King Benjamin. Why? Well, because of the words that he has spoken. So what impact have the words of living prophets had on you? Now, you remember that King Benjamin, he set out and he said, "Hey, there are a couple of things that I want to accomplish." Remember back in verse 1? Again, if you didn't listen to last week, you might want to take a listen. But back in chapter 1, in verse number 12, he says, "One of the reasons I'm going to bring these people together is what? Well, I'm going to give them the name that shall never be blotted out. And what is the name that shall never be blotted out?" Verse number 7, "And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he has spiritually begotten you. for you say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore, ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. Now, here's a really crazy thing. Do members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believe in being born again? The answer is, yea, verily we do. Because being born again is what? Well, it's this change, a mighty change in you and I. And they're willing to do what? Well, they're taking on them the name that cannot be blotted out. And the name that cannot be blotted out is the name of Christ. Now, you and I, via baptism, have taken that name upon us. How do I know we've done that? Well, think about the sacrament prayer. And what do we commit to do? We'd be willing to, right? We're willing to take upon us the name of Christ. The reality is King Benjamin and President Nelson have the same goal. Now, I didn't stutter, you heard me correctly. King Benjamin and President Nelson have the same goal. See, if you think about all of the things that President Nelson has talked to us about since he's been a prophet, Mosiah 5:15 nearly, not completely, but nearly sums it up. Mosiah 5:15 says, therefore, I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works. I'm going to stop right there. Steadfast means to be firm and unwavering. So he starts off, I would that you should be firm and unwavering. And then he says immovable. So how is immovable different than steadfast? Well, immovable is unalterable. So the verse would read, therefore, I would that ye should be firm and unwavering and unalterable, always abounding in good works. So it's very plentifully. So let's try it again. Check out this verse with a little modern interpretation. Therefore, I would that ye should be firm and unwavering and unalterable, plentifully always in good works. And here's the outcome. That Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who hath created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. I'm going to read that one more time. I would that you should be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord God omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and eternal life through the wisdom and power and justice and mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen. So will you go and watch your thoughts, words, and deeds. Now, just in case you don't remember from the beginning of our conversation, to watch is to, will you go and exercise care, caution, and restraint upon your ideas and opinions, the things that you say, and your visible outcomes? Will you believe God through exercising care, caution, or restraint on your ideas and opinions, the things that you say, and your visible outcomes? Will you prepare for and make and keep sacred covenants? President Nelson is trying to bring that temple as close to you as he possibly can. So will you also, for those of you that have the covenants in place, will you renew your covenant via the sacrament and temple attendance? The reality is I know that as we exercise care, caution, and restraint on our ideas and opinions, the things that we say align better, and our visible outcomes are those that the Savior would have us have. May you watch your thoughts, words, and deeds because you believe in God and are preparing for him to come again via your covenants is my hope. Let's go and do. Take care. The Go and Do podcast is created by me, Candace Shoup, and edited and produced by Cammie Fisher. We'd absolutely love it if you would take the time to follow us where you listen to your podcasts, along with download. And if you like what you're listening to, please leave us a review. We also invite you to follow us on Instagram at Go and Do Podcast. And if you want to talk to me personally, feel free to email thegoanddopodcast@gmail.com. Remember, friends, to have a good time, don't be a good time. Let's go and do.